Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so in this podcast, we explore strategies and tools and blueprints for how to make that a reality. And we often talk about topics like project-based learning and design thinking. But I think it's important that we remember that even in the midst of these student-centered frameworks, even in the midst of empowering our students with voice and choice, we also have to do things like direct instruction. So today's topic is actually why we need direct instruction in a project-based learning classroom. So early on in my PBL journey, I made a vow to go 100% project-based. My students would learn everything through exploration and discovery, and I would remain this, you know, guide on the side, observing the process and helping out whenever it was necessary. And my goal was to be kind of as invisible as possible. After leading students through a highly structured documentary, I wanted to pull things back and let them own more of the learning. This would be student-centered and authentic. That was my goal. But it tanked. I mean, it tanked fast. Not a week later or a month later. I'm talking 2 days into the project. It was beginning to fail. And I realized my mistake. My students didn't have enough background knowledge to navigate the complexity of our project. I'd skipped the concept attainment lesson with the goal of learning through the project rather than doing the project after, you know, a lesson. But my students, they just didn't have the conceptual understanding of the topic. So I pushed forward through the inquiry phase and through the research, where I realized that most of my students were unable to do online research. And at that moment, I had to take a time out. Not only did they not have the concepts, they didn't have the skills needed to do research. So I decided to do some direct instruction. I showed them how to do research. And then I also did a concept attainment lesson where I helped them gain background knowledge on the historical concepts that they were learning. And I learned something valuable through those mistakes. Authentic projects can and should coexist with direct instruction. If authenticity involves making the learning real and relevant for students, well, then there might be moments when direct instruction is actually the authentic choice. Yes, I get it. We want things to be student-centered. But as teachers, we still have moments where we need to use direct instructions. Yes, I get it. We are the guide on the side. And that's often true in a PBL classroom. But we're also experts. We know our content better than any kid in our classroom. We are the ones who know it best. And there's a time and a place for us to just share that information with students. It doesn't make it less authentic. It doesn't make it weaker. It doesn't make it anything. It just gives them the background knowledge that they need in order to thrive in a PBL classroom. So I want to point out, if you're new to PBL, kind of what we mean by PBL. The BIE, which is now PBL Works, they have a few different design elements. They have actually 7 different design elements. It requires a challenging problem or question, sustained inquiry, authenticity, student voice and choice, reflection, critique and revision, and a public product at the end. And I would point out that when you look at those things, you really can't pull any of those off without direct instruction. Or let me say it differently, without background knowledge. And sometimes you just have to build that background knowledge through direct instruction. Now, here are some reasons why you might want to use direct instruction inside of a PBL unit. Number one, direct instruction is actually necessary to build that background knowledge. I alluded to this already, but this is a really important thing to remember. There's a great video on this blog post, and it's from John Hattie. And he basically, you know, explained that inquiry-based learning only had a 0.31 effect on student learning. So that's a really low size effect. But then he clarified this. He said, actually, inquiry-based learning is vital for students' learning. When students engage in inquiry-based learning and problem-based learning, which are all wrapped up inside of project-based learning, they actually learn things at a deeper level. They remember it longer. We know that PBL works, but this type of process only works if they've gained prior knowledge. They have to know something about it ahead of time. And so what he's saying is, having some prior knowledge, doing some direct instruction, helping them with some skills, that's actually necessary for them to be able to do inquiry-based learning and project-based learning well. Now, we can build this prior knowledge through direct instruction, and it might involve an outline of core concepts or front-loading of vocabulary, but it often involves a concept attainment lesson. And what I love about concept attainment lessons is that they can be short. They don't have to be long, drawn-out lectures. They don't have to be boring. Some of the best concept attainment lessons are actually discussions and guided experiments and simulations and game-based learning activities. And all of those fit into that category of direct instruction. You are the one directing the instruction, and students are the recipients of that. And that might sound like it goes against PBL, but again, it's needed to build that background knowledge. Chances are, if I ask you the coolest things you've learned in the last 3 months, you might describe something that you did through a project or that you learned through experience, but you might also tell me about something you read in a book or something you heard in a podcast. Well, that's just another form of essentially direct instruction. And we need that. We need that external input to build on our background knowledge and to know more. Number two, direct instruction can reduce cognitive load. Greg Ashman wrote an interesting article about the downside of inquiry-based learning and what it does in terms of student achievement. And in his article, he makes the distinction between epistemology, which is what it means to know something, versus pedagogy, what it means to teach something. And scientists can engage in things like open inquiry without prior knowledge because, well, they actually have prior knowledge, which was point number one, right? But students who lack that prior knowledge often struggle because it increases their cognitive load. And so what we know from the research is that in PBL classrooms, students often hit a place of cognitive overload. But it's important to remember that even if they hit cognitive overload, we can reduce this by embedding direct instruction inside of a PBL lesson. It might be at the very beginning. It might include short direct instructions inside of an activity. It might be a break from a project for a day where you just do some direct instruction. But all of that reduces the cognitive load, and it actually leads to deeper thinking and better work. Number three, direct instruction can help facilitate skill development. So if the last part was, you know, prior knowledge on concepts, this is the importance of honestly helping them develop skills. And that sometimes requires, you know, direct instruction. Creative projects require students to master certain physical skills, right? This might involve research or problem solving or brainstorming, peer assessment. It might involve knowing how to make a video or even what the best practice is for making a really good slideshow. And whatever type of project you're doing, if they haven't done that type of thing from a skill level, if they haven't created and edited a video before, for example, you're going to have to do some direct instruction to show students how to do this. When we did Scratch video game projects, both when I taught eighth grade and then when I've helped out with some stuff at the university with students, we always used a gradual release of responsibility approach where we would start with direct instruction, showing students how Scratch worked, right? And then guided practice where they would learn how to do that by kind of copying a recipe, for lack of a better term. And then we would move to a mashup game where they're combining two different recipes, and then they could be the chefs. They could create that video game from scratch. And similarly, when my students at the university level, learn to write lesson plans or craft assessments or design professional educator blogs, I always have to use some direct instructions to help facilitate skill development. Now, this doesn't make it less authentic. It's what anyone does when they're learning a skill for the first time. You might go to YouTube, you might have a flip video, you might have a lecture, but whatever it is, you're gonna need that direct instruction so that you can understand how to do a skill. You can't always just discover your way into a skill. Number four, direct instruction can help facilitate guided inquiry. So if we think about inquiry, the direct instruction can help students who are struggling with asking questions and doing research and learning more. And it might be something that's, again, like if you think about the launch process, it's sort of the second phase in the launch process. In the BIE model, it might be the second or third phase. But whatever it is, doing some direct instruction will help students gain that background knowledge that they will then use to ask questions and do research. Number five, direct instruction can work as an embedded intervention. So maybe you're doing research and kids are going to be, you know, making inferences and drawing conclusions and all this different stuff inside of a project that they're doing. And this is the research that's going into what their designs are going to be. This is the R in the R&D, all right, in the research and development. And this is going to be what helps them come up with something awesome when they turn around and actually create something. But maybe you have students who struggle with making inferences. You have students who struggle with drawing conclusions or distinguishing between facts and opinion. And in these moments, it really helps to be able to do some intervention. Well, here's where doing direct instruction helps. You can tell students, hey, if anybody wants, I'm going to be doing a short mini lesson on how to make inferences or how to do research or whatever it may be. You might do a small vocabulary lesson or a grammar mini lesson if students are struggling with the language acquisition side of it. But whatever it is, you can have a group of students working on their project and then pull aside, not necessarily a small group, not even a group of two or three. It might be that 15 kids in your class are all paying attention, but you divide the class up and you do a little bit of embedded intervention through direct instruction. Number six, direct instruction can reduce project fatigue. And I've seen this before. Sometimes kids get tired in the midst of a project. And believe it or not, they actually want some direct instruction. It will give them new ideas. It will give them a little break from their project. And they will turn around and come back to it and do better work as a result. So again, number six is it can reduce project fatigue. Now, if we think about this, it doesn't have to be boring. So if we think about how to do direct instruction well, I think it's important that we keep direct instruction interesting. Sometimes it's storytelling. Sometimes it's a really cool video that you do, something like that. But you really pique their interest. The second idea that I want to bring up is that direct instruction needs to be interactive. Now, if you're using something like a simulation or you're doing game-based learning to teach a concept, that's highly interactive. But you might just do something like a total physical response to front-load vocabulary, and that's really interactive, but also pretty easy. You might have a lecture. Maybe you don't call it a lecture, you call it a story or whatever, but let's be real. A really good lecture can be, well, really good. And you can make lectures more interactive by adding a pair share or a discussion activity within the lecture. And then I think the other thing to remember is that we need to be tying the direct instruction to the larger project. Students need to make that connection between what you're teaching them in that moment and what they're going to be doing in the project. Ultimately, there's a time and a place for direct instruction within PBL. A student-centered approach does not require us to just ditch all things teacher-directed. Sometimes the most authentic student-centered approach might just be to do a really good direct instruction mini-lesson. It doesn't make you a bad teacher, and it doesn't make your units less engaging or authentic. It simply means that you're going to use direct instruction to build their background knowledge and to help them succeed. And if that's not authentic, well, I don't know what is. Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you get your podcast? That would mean the world to me. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.